Friends, we're going to read from God's Word now, from 2 Corinthians. You can find the Bible reading on the inside of your information sheet or on the screen behind me. As we come to God's Word, let's pray and ask God for help. Lord, we do thank you that you speak to us. We pray, Lord, this morning in the heat and in the distractions that can be around us, that you would calm our minds and help us to listen to you this morning. Please give us understanding and please give us courage to put your word into action. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother. To the church of God that is at Corinth, with all the saints who are in the whole of Achaia, grace to you, and peace from God our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Murray. Well, as I mentioned earlier, my name is Stephen Miller, and I'm here for the next five Sundays. I'm here because Ian isn't. Ian arrived in Melbourne on Thursday, just in time to go to the tennis. No, that's not what he said. Just in time for the very hot Melbourne weather. He drove from here to Albury on Wednesday, and then much more leisurely from Albury to Melbourne on Thursday. He got a very good welcome at St Andrew's Hall, a decrepit building, much need of repairs. They're in a two-bedroom flat on the third floor. It will be a wonderful flat after the repairs. They've had a time to meet most of the students and staff and discover the local shops and to find the local physiotherapist. The course starts next week, lunch with the principal on Monday, classes start on Tuesday. There's a notice board in the foyer with photos of people who have been there going back to 1964, including, and you'll recognise some of these names, the Boxers, the Lovells, the Haribas, Clarks and others. Lots of familiar faces and terrific people. It's rather humbling to be included with them. Well, you know much more about Ian than I do. Ian and I have been friends for a long time. I was here a couple of years ago when he was in India. I'm back again. But I don't know very much about Ian, just what you see in bits and pieces. What I do know is he loves rosters, databases, spreadsheets. There's a roster for the 8 o'clock service, that's on green paper. There's a roster for the 10 a.m. service, that's on buff coloured paper. There's a roster for 6 p.m., that's on blue paper. It's fairly obvious when you go through all these rosters and databases and folders that he's got, Ian thought Sunday service was important. And it's good to have a minister who thinks that Sunday services are important. They need work, they need preparation, and he wants people involved. Because the word church means a team. And you have all these rosters because you want people to get this sort of team mentality that we're gathering together. When I was at school, going to church was like sitting in a bus. The minister was up the front driving everything, and we were sitting in the chairs just wobbling around doing our own thing. And the minister did everything. He welcomed us, he read the service, he read the lessons, he preached the sermon, he gave the notices. We didn't have morning tea, but my guess is if we'd had morning tea, he would have had to do that as well. But Ian thought that Sunday services were important. Now, another roster or database that I have here, which perhaps you have never seen, is the list of all the sermons that Ian has preached in the 13 years that he's been here. Now, even the fact that he has the list indicates that he thought that preaching on Sundays was important. Now, he's been here for 13 years. I'll pick a date. December the 7th, 2008. You'd all remember that Sunday. He preached on Revelation chapter 16. Remember that one? I'll pick another date. Here we go. Oh, now, I've just chosen this one by coincidence. April the 15th, 2012, he preached on Genesis, Jacob and Esau. I knew I got the idea of the wig from somewhere. Look, this shows me that Ian thought that preaching on the Bible was important. I was in my last two parishes for about 15 years each. And it wasn't a coincidence it was both 15 years, because early in my ministry I worked out a preaching roster and I realised I could preach through the whole of the Bible without doing any repeats, except perhaps at Christmas time, in 15 years. So once I got to the 15-year mark, it was either start again, and that'd be 30 years, or go to a new parish. And looking at Ian's roster here, it would seem that Ian had very similar ideas. It doesn't seem to be many repeats. When I come back in May and June, I'm preaching on Zechariah. Now, there's a tasty bowl of soup if you want to get stuck into a prophecy. And the reason I'm preaching on Zechariah is because Ian tells me it's not on his list here. He's left the parish before he had a chance to preach on Zechariah, and he wants me to make amends. So Ian thought that Sunday services were important, and he thought preaching the Bible was important. Now, I guess there's some of you are nominators, are you? I think Murray is. There's good money in this nominating, isn't there? And I can understand why you do it. And they'll be going off looking for Ian's replacement. So on a few Sundays when Murray's not here, that's where he might be, but it's all top secret, isn't it? Shh. Hush. They're not supposed to tell you where they go. It's very strange. And so they're going to have to do a bit of thinking about what sort of minister do you want to replace Ian. Now, I'm told that on top of their list is they want someone who can sing. And Murray and Ian, you sang duets, did you? But it is a good question. What sort of minister, what is a good minister? Unfortunately, do you mind if I criticise the diocese? I criticise it. If you don't like me criticising the diocese, don't listen to the next couple of moments. But the diocese, all they're interested in about this church is how many people attend. And every year, Ian gets out one of his databases, types in, and they want to know how many people come to 8 o'clock, how many people come to 10:30, and that's all they're interested in. You send off this information, and the diocese will look at it and say, all they're interested in numbers. Do you realise that every time this parish sends someone to the mission field, the diocese thinks you've lost somebody? So if you send a lot of people to the mission field, a couple of families, and you lose, a dozen people, the diocese says, wow, look at the numbers at Wentworth, Phil, they're falling. Very strange. Numbers are not all that important. So I'm not looking for a minister who can just get more and more and more people. There are lots of things ministers can do to get lots of extra people. I'm not sure if all of the things they can do are helpful. But here's Ian, thought that Sunday services were important, thought that preaching the Bible was important, and being able to sing, not all that important. Now, when Paul wrote to 2 Corinthians, he wrote to the church of 2 Corinthians, he was having trouble. He was having trouble. He wrote this letter. It's the second of the letters that we have. Some people think he may have written other letters. I'm not sure about that. We've got two of the letters. I often think if he wrote any more, you think they would keep them. But when you realise that so many people in Corinth didn't like him, we're lucky they kept this letter. Now, who has not written a letter for 10 years? You know, letters are... So I might have to explain to some people what a letter is. You know, you actually get a biro out and you write on paper. I used to get letters from my mother when I was at Moore College, and they were wonderful letters. My mother had a wonderful way of talking or writing, and I used to read these letters with enormous encouragement. Now you just get emails, abbreviations, code, text, yes, and you get little pictures that people smiling, or you don't know where you turn on its side and it's someone smiling on its side. It's all become very ordinary. Here's Paul writing a letter. When this letter arrived at Corinth, and the minister at Corinth said, okay, let's look what's come today. We've got a letter from Paul. Half the congregation left. They hated him. He said, I wrote you a letter. And they said, don't write any more letters. And he did. And then he said, I'm thinking about coming to visit you. They said, don't visit us. And then he said, I've changed my mind. I'm not going to visit you. And they said, there you go, changing your mind. Stop changing your mind. He couldn't win with Corinth. And yet, as far as we know, it was Paul's biggest church. So as far as the diocese was concerned, Corinth was a rip-roaring success. But when we read the letter, oh dear, it had some problems. So it's a good read. Now, I know that I'd have a lot of people here who just can't wait for the start of Married at First Bite. I think is it tomorrow night it starts? And if you miss tomorrow night, don't worry, you can get the replays. And it's on Tuesday, it's on Wednesday, it's on Thursday, it's on Friday. It replaces the Big Bash, basically. And I know which are the best episodes or the most highly watched episodes are the ones where the bride is going to be arguing, when she loses her temper, when she throws something at someone. That's what gets audiences. It's the same with all the cooking shows. Nothing more exciting than a cooking show when someone picks up the meal and throws it at someone. And that's what the audience want. Now, if you like that sort of stuff, you will like 2 Corinthians. Because 2 Corinthians, it's a letter of stress, of arguing, of saying you'll do something and you do something else, of criticising. It's a stressful letter. Paul was an apostle. That's how he starts the letter. I think if Paul was writing today and he was typing this letter, the word apostle would have been in bold type, underlined with colour, because that's what they couldn't accept. At Corinth, they couldn't accept that Paul was an apostle. In fact, they didn't even like him as a minister, let alone accept him as an apostle. I mean, apostles are few and far between. Now, if you come to 6 o'clock tonight, and I hope you all do, although I won't have enough material or supper for all of you, but we're going to be looking at a modern day apostle. But today we're looking at a real apostle. They didn't think he was an apostle. So when he starts his letter, Paul, an apostle, well, as I mentioned earlier, half the congregation had already left. The other half that was still there listening to the letter, some of them would have whinged and complained, oh, this Paul going on about being an apostle. Who does he think he is? He says he's an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God. See, Paul understood something about ministry that ministers should never forget. That is that we are ministers of Jesus. He's an apostle of Jesus. I'm a minister of Jesus. Paul was answerable to Jesus. I'm answerable to Jesus. I'm not answerable to my congregation. I'm not answerable to my bishop. I'm not answerable to the diocese. Ultimately, I'm accountable to God himself. He's the one who appointed Paul. And I think Paul is having a bit of a go at these Corinthians right in the opening of his letter. He said, you people at Corinth who don't think I'm an apostle, you don't even like me talking, you don't want me to visit, you don't want me to write letters, you don't want me to even have an opinion, don't forget, I've been appointed by God and I will give account to God of my ministry. He writes to the church of God that is at Corinth. Now, one of the troubles we have with reading, well, any part of the Bible, but especially these letters of Paul, is that if you're like me, you've been reading the New Testament all your life. Some of you might not have. Some of you might be new to the Bible. You're in a much better position than some others. We've been reading these words all our lives, and they just roll off the tongue in the end. And we don't realise that when Paul wrote these words, although he didn't write in English, when he wrote to the church of God that is at Corinth, those people at Corinth, they'd never heard that expression before. So when this letter was read, someone would have said to them, hey, stop, what's he mean by that? The church of God which is at Corinth. These are new words. This is, Paul, when he's writing his letters, is inventing the vocabulary of Christianity. The words that we are now very familiar with, we are familiar with them because Paul used them in his letters. The church of God, the word church, in English we use it all different ways. We could use it of this building that keeps us so hot on hot days. We can use it of the people that meet in the hot building. And that's what the word basically means when Paul was trying to use it that first time. And Paul grew up, when he grew up as a youngster and teenager and a young fella, he would have used the word synagogue. But he doesn't call them to the synagogue of God, which is at Corinth. That was the word he was used to. He said, no, I'm going to use a new word. To the church, the gathering, which is what synagogue means. But I'm going to use a new word. The gathering of God's people. Now, the gathering of God's people, this is a big picture phrase. Unfortunately, for nearly every Christian in the world, they go to church and they meet in tiny buildings, just a few people. We might think this congregation here is not big. Most churches in the world would regard this number as big. The average size of churches in the world is under 40. But Paul, when he used the word the church of God, he was talking about millions of people from countries all around the world, countries he hadn't even heard of, and millions of people being gathered by God around the throne of Christ, worshipping our Lord. What we see here on a Sunday is just a sliver of that church of God. A sliver. And sometimes we can talk like that. You might if there was cricket on today, we could watch the cricket, and they might show a couple of people in the crowd, and you could say, oh, that's the crowd. And you're only looking at a couple of people. But we use that expression. We say, oh, that's the crowd at the cricket. So we can say, oh, this is the church of God, these few people I can see. But for Paul, the church of God was the gathering of God's people in heaven, of which this here is just a little snippet. Then Paul uses another little greeting. Again, this is a greeting that he made up. Again, when the Corinthians first read this greeting, they would have said, that's a strange greeting, never heard that one before. Grace to you and peace from God our Father. For people like me who have been in churches all their life, that's a greeting that just rolls off the tongue. We don't even think about it. We just assume it was just, it was just words. But for Paul said, no, when I greet a church, I want to use a greeting that never been used before. And I want to pick out a couple of really important ideas to put in the greeting so that this will sort of define Christianity. The two words that he uses at the beginning is grace and peace. I have a granddaughter named Grace. Unfortunately, her father doesn't go to church. They live up at Catherine. And when I'm up there, they occasionally go to church, or he goes to church. And I was up there just before Grace was born, and they were singing, not Amazing Grace at church. There's another song, it's called I Am Waiting for Grace, is that the word? Sorry? Grace Awaiting Me. And the father thought, what a wonderful name for a child. He didn't realise that grace was a standard Christian word that we use every Sunday. He just thought, wow, there's a new word, Grace Awaiting Me, or whatever it is. And so the baby was called Grace, which I was very happy with. But see, when Paul first used this, the Corinthians hadn't heard a greeting exactly like this. Grace, the generosity of God to give me something. The only reason I'm a Christian, although I was brought up in a Christian family, that's no guarantee you'll be a Christian. That's not why I'm a Christian. The only reason I'm a Christian is because of God's grace, his generosity. He gave me faith. And he gave it to me at a very young age. I trusted in Jesus, from at least third class at school, I can remember. Because God gave me faith. And Paul says, when I write to the Corinthian church, I'm going to use that word in my greeting. They're not used to it. I'm making this up. I'm the apostle. I'm making up the language I want Christians to use from now on. And I want them to, when they talk about Christianity, to think grace is one of the important ideas in Christianity. That God gives down. We don't reach up to grab something. God reaches down to give us something. Now, I'm not quite sure why, but you might be thinking about the architecture of this church today. But why is it that churches all around the place are all built like rocket ships? Great steeples. And in the end, people who don't come to church and who don't understand Christianity, they all think that when people go to church, they're sort of shooting up to heaven, reaching up, seeing how high they can go. I hear we're going to get to Mars soon. Anyone want to buy a ticket? I've got a few to sell. But this is what people think churches are. that we're all here thinking that we are these wonderful spiritual people that somehow have got this enormous ability to reach up to God and arrive. And they get it from the architecture of our churches, all built like rocket ships. The second word that Paul uses in this greeting when he's trying to invent the language of Christianity is peace. Peace from God. Now, every now and then, not very often, but because my wife's not here, I can say what I like. My wife and I might have a few words. And basically, it doesn't matter whether she's done something wrong or I've done something wrong, I cop it. This is true, isn't it, Murray? And the feeling of being out of whack with your wife, it might only be for an hour or half a day, the feeling of being out of whack with your wife is awful. It makes you hard to do things. Turn the TV off, go and turn my computer organ off, and you just wander around thinking, what can I do? You know, it's just an awful feeling. But to be out of whack with God, that has got to be worse. Now, I know for some people they've been out of whack with God for so long, they just get used to it. It's like putting a frog in water and heating the water. The frog just doesn't realise it's getting hotter and hotter. And some people just don't realise the pain of being out of whack with God. One day it will come against them a cropper. And Paul says Christianity is about God making peace. Again, it's from God to us. Christianity, in this little summary that Paul invents, is all about God coming down, giving us something, making peace. It's all about God doing things for us. Now, I hope that over the next few weeks you might read 2 Corinthians. You'll enjoy it, especially if you enjoy reading a bit of stress and strain and people arguing and having words. And Paul, am I allowed to say he makes a few insults? Especially, he makes an insult after he says, I'm not going to insult you, but it's all a good read. And then when he says, would you like me to visit you? And then they have a meeting at Corinth. And Paul says, I've heard you've had a meeting and not even my friends voted for me. It's a great read. I hope that you'll read it. We'll only be able to do a few chapters in the weeks that I'm here. But please read 2 Corinthians. It's a wonderful letter. It will make you think about church, what's important in churches. All you nominators, read 2 Corinthians. It'll focus your mind on what sort of minister do you want? Because the Corinthians, they wanted a minister, but not like Paul. And it's interesting to try and see what sort of minister did they want. It had something to do with numbers. So that's what we'll do over the next couple of weeks. Thank you, Murray.